The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to our service. Welcome to those of you here in church. It's really lovely to see you here today. And especially if you are returning to in-church worship for the first time. Welcome also to those joining us live via the internet and those who will connect later. As in previous weeks, due to the current situation, I'm required to remind you of a few things. First of all, please ensure that your details have been recorded by one of the stewards, and at the end of the service, to remain in your seat until a steward indicates that you may go. When you leave, you're asked, please, to keep the church door clear. If you wish to have a chat, just move onto the grass. Again, there won't be a collection in the usual way, but you will find baskets at the back of the church on the way out if you wish to make an offering. I know it feels strange, but singing is still not permitted. However, we can listen to the hymns and reflect on the words as they are displayed on the screens. You may have heard the statement a few days ago from the leaders of the four main churches regarding face coverings. From next Sunday, everyone, except those who are exempted, will be encouraged to wear them in places of worship. This is in order to reduce the spread of the virus and protect others. And finally, a word of thanks to our teams who work so hard to enable us to have this service and to keep us safe. In our service today, we'll be thinking about the gifts and talents that God has given us, and how we can use them in service and ministry to him. And that theme is taken up in our opening hymn. Here in this day's dedication, all we have to give, receive. We listen to the hymn, God is here as we his people.
Thank you.
the service of morning prayer too. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning reminds us that as members of the church, we are all different and we all have different gifts. But whatever our gifts, we must use them. Reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here ends our reading. And in response to our reading, we stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the first and third morning collects. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn of dedication to the Lord. You'll notice that each line begins with the same word, the word take, meaning offered in service to God. We listen to the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
My love and send my days.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 17th century Italy, in the town of Cremona, lived a young boy named Antonio. Antonio was often sad because he lived in a town that was famous for its music, but he could neither sing nor play. Unfortunately, Antonio's voice was high and squeaky, so he was not welcome in the Cremona Boys Choir. And when he took violin lessons, the neighbours persuaded his parents to make him stop. Yet Antonio still wanted to make music. Antonio's friends laughed at him because it seemed that his only talent was whittling. But he did not give up. One day he learned that a world-famous violin maker named Amati lived in Cremona. Antonio went to visit him and begged to serve as his apprentice. For many years, he studied and worked. Antonio's knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving. His hobby became his craft. Patiently, he fashioned many violins, striving to make each one better and more beautiful than the one before. When Antonio died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that said, Antonio Stradivarius. Today, as you know, they are the most sought-after violins in the world. The clarity of tone and careful craftsmanship remain untouched by the centuries. Antonio Stradivarius could neither sing nor play, but he did what he could. And now, over 300 years later, his violins are still making beautiful music. This story highlights that it isn't important how many and what our talents might be, but whether we are using the talents that we have. And that is precisely what Paul is getting at in the letter to the Romans, part of which we heard earlier. He says, and I'm using the contemporary English version here, God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. And if we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. Nowhere does Paul let us off the hook because we think that we don't have as many talents as another person, or because we think we can't do something as well as someone else. Nor does he allow us to think that a partial use of our gifts will do, or that we use them only when it suits us. But why is Paul so strong about using our talents in the best way possible in service to God and other people? Why is he so strong? Well, in the earlier part of his letter to the Romans, he spells out in great detail the wonderful things that God has done through Jesus. He tells us how everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. And yet, by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. You see, Paul delights in telling his readers about the undeserved love which God lavishes on us, even though we are sinful human beings. And Paul is excited about the gospel message. Even the worst things that can possibly happen to us will not stop God loving us. He says, "Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul has some good news to tell his readers. And he goes into great detail to make sure that they get the message. And then he sums up everything saying, "How great are God's riches? How deep are his wisdom and knowledge? Who can explain his decisions? Who can understand his ways? As the scripture says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give him advice? Who has ever given him anything so that he had to pay it back? For all things were created by him, and all things exist through him and for him. To God be the glory forever. Amen." Now, on this high point, Paul could have finished his letter, but he doesn't. He starts chapter 12 with, "So then," or "therefore." And when "therefore" is used, you can be sure the writer is saying that what he has told you previously has some consequences. Jesus gave his life for you, so then offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Now, that word sacrifice indicates total commitment. There are no half measures with a sacrifice. If there were, then it would no longer be a sacrifice. When Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, it was a total commitment. So when Paul talks about a living sacrifice, he means that our whole lives should demonstrate the same kind of commitment that God has to us. Our reading this morning is saying, let God have complete control and complete use of every moment. Let him have complete control over every bit of energy and every resource. Let God use every talent of every person to fulfill his great plan for the church and the world. And because the church is made up of many, many different people, the variety of talents is enormous. He uses one of his favorite pictures to describe the church, the human body. The body has many different parts, all with its own unique characteristics and functions. Some parts are more obvious than others, but all are equally important when it comes to the health and well-being of the body. And in the same way, the church is made up of different kinds of people with all kinds of gifts. And all are important if the church is to be healthy and happy. Paul concludes, there are many of us, but we each are part of the body of Christ as well as part of one another. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. Note that last sentence. God has given each of us different gifts to use. Everyone has a gift, if not numerous gifts. And everyone's gift is important. After all, it comes from God. And God doesn't deal in trivialities that have no purpose. The gifts that God has given to you and to me are to be used in some way to bring some kind of benefit to other people. Now, we usually have a good idea what gifts God has given us. But every now and then we are surprised at what unused gifts we have. When we are challenged to give something a go, something we have never done before, we may find that we have a gift that has been left unused for so long. All of us, young and old, need to hear Paul's words again afresh. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. And there are no age restrictions. Young people can use their gifts in many ways, in worship, in leading, in serving and caring, with energy and enthusiasm. Middle-aged people, even when they think that their work doesn't leave them any spare time, Christ's body needs their skills, their leadership, their faith and their eagerness. And as for those of us who are older, there is no retirement age for using God's gifts. Even when our own bodies might seem to be slowing down, Christ's body needs our wisdom, our faithfulness, the calm confidence of our experience more than ever. Through young and old, God is building his church. And you know, God has put you and me here in this congregation for a purpose. It is no accident that we are in this family together. You have gifts that I need. I have gifts that you need. And God asks every single one of us to be his body in this community to accomplish his purpose. The challenge to us this morning, therefore, no matter what age we are, is to give some thought to the gifts that God has given us. We need to seek to understand and then unwrap those gifts, to use them in service and ministry for him. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. I believe that God is calling every member of this congregation to a new way of thinking about the church and our role in it. Paul says, let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. May God help us to be the kind of church that is dedicated to him, committed to one another, and determined to fulfill our calling as his servants, using our gifts in his service. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the varied gifts and talents you have given to us, your children, to some the gift of music or painting, to others of writing or athletic skills. Above all, we thank you for the greater gifts of understanding, sympathy, and friendship, which can bring help and happiness to others. Show each of us what are your special gifts to us, and enable us to use them in your service and for your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for this country, and for our local community. Lord, we pray for refugees and uprooted families, for all living in camps, and for those who assist them, for all who have been bereaved, injured, and traumatized. And as our bishop opens the diocesan Lebanon appeal, we continue to pray for those suffering as a result of the massive explosion in Beirut, for the injured and grieving, and all involved in the relief operation. We pray for generous hearts and an outpouring of your healing and your spirit on that place. And at this time, we pray too against a resurgence or second wave of coronavirus. We pray for good citizenship, that people would be considerate of others and follow government guidelines. We pray that the most vulnerable in our society would be protected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, when you were on this earth, no one was beyond your healing compassion. We pray now for those who are ill at this time, especially those with long-term illnesses. We pray too for those who are worried or anxious for themselves or members of their family. Draw close to them, that they may be very conscious of your presence with them, your love surrounding them and supporting them. And we take a quiet moment to bring before you our own needs, those things on our hearts and minds this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, accept our prayers for your name's sake. And as you taught your disciples, so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so as we prepare to leave this place, the challenge is to discover and unpack the gifts that God has given us, and to use them in his service.
Thank you.
It has been good to worship together. Thank you for coming, and thank you to those tuning in from home. Just a reminder to remain in your seat until a steward indicates that you may go. Let us bow our heads for the blessing. May God sustain us in all our works and in all our ways. Make us humble, just, and true. Strengthen us in holiness and righteousness, and fill our homes with love and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us always. Amen.